Well, I'm Tiffany. When I was five, well, I just turned five, my great-grandpa Merrill had passed away, and my mom and my sister and I were at a gas station, and I was asking my mom about salvation, and I got saved that night, and my sister, she said, "No, no, Tiffany." She thought I was going to die right then. So she ended up getting saved as well that evening.
So. Hi, my name is Stephen Wireman. I grew up in a single-parent home with my mom, Joanne Wireman. She's the hardest working lady I know. She works 60 hours a week on average, and to support a single kid, for any single parents out there, you can understand how hard it was, especially me. But I went to the Wilds when I was 13, and Rand Hummel was preaching that day during a Christian Life seminar, and I got convicted about my sin. I grew up in church, so I knew that you had to understand you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and repent of it. The problem was I was too much in love with my sin. But that day, I got serious about hell and about God, and I asked Jesus to come to my heart. My counselor's name was Dale, the one that led me to the Lord. But that's about it.
And they're about ready to cross over into new territory, uncharted territory that they have never ever known. They're going to come into the land of Canaan, a land that God told them is a land that floweth with milk and honey. It's all set, it's all prepared for them. This is the area that God had the nation of Israel to settle in. And in Joshua chapter 3 and in Joshua chapter 4, the nation of Israel is excited. God through Joshua had already sent out the 12 spies. We find that. Matter of fact, we just sang it this morning in junior church. 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw gracefully clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Okay, we sang that in junior church this morning. And that's what Joshua chapter 3 and 4 is. We find that is in Numbers, and we're going to hop to that in just a second. But in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, Joshua only sends out 2 spies. He only sends out 2 spies. And they go, they find in Jericho, they find the harlot's house, Rahab. They stay with her, they search out the land, and they come back to Joshua, and they have a good report. Hey, these people are scared to death of God. Scared to death of Him. They are so shaking, it's not funny. The land is a give me, let's go in and take it. But if we were to have backed up to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we find way back then that the nation of Israel had done something almost an exact same as what I just described to you. Other than it was the 12. Is that 12 to you? 12. There we go. 12. I do this in junior church. I have a hard time. Which is what? 12. They sent 12 men in. Moses sent 12 men in. You remember? They did the same thing. They searched out the land. They came back and they brought a report. Do you remember what the report was? Do you remember what the report was? The report was this. 10 of them said, well, yeah, it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. It's a great land. I mean, it's fantastic. And Joshua and Caleb agreed. Yes, it's wonderful. It's super. Let's go in. And what did those 10 men say? No way. We can't go in. Have you not seen who lives there? Have you not seen who dwells there? Yeah, we know what God said. God told us to go in. God told us to conquer the people of Canaan. It's all theirs for our taking. God said that He would go with us. But we can't do it. We shouldn't do it. They're stronger than we are. They're mightier than we are. And have you not seen the giants that dwell in the land? No way. And the Bible says back in Numbers 13 and 14 that the 10 men, the 10 spies, stirred up the people against Joshua and against Caleb, and it didn't go so well. Matter of fact, we find that because of the 10 men's report, because of the stirring up of the nation of Israel against Joshua and Caleb and against Moses, that the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Why did those 10 men, why did the nation of Israel go against what God had purposely planned? He wanted them, as they came out of Egypt, to come cross over the Jordan River. He had already showed them the way thus far. He parted the Red Sea for them. That was a gimme. It was easy. They crossed over on dry land. That was fantastic. And God was going to do the same thing to the Jordan River. Say, how do you know that? Read Joshua chapter 4. Read Joshua chapter 5. God stopped the Jordan River, which had overflowed its banks, and did the same thing. And he was going to do the same thing. But the nation of Israel said, no, 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 no. We want to do things our own way. And they cried and said, would to God that we had stayed in Egypt. God didn't want them to stay in Egypt. That wasn't where God had them. Would to God that we had died in the wilderness. God didn't want them to die in the wilderness. He had a better things for them. He wanted them to have the land of Canaan. It was all set for them. Matter of fact, this was really cool. As I went through the devotions with my kids, I said, hey, listen up, Hunter, Maddie, Gunner. I said, listen up. This was really, really cool because the time that they came to the Jordan River, when the spies first came in Numbers, what did they bring back to Moses? Grapes. And they weren't just any ordinary grapes. They were the grapes of Eschol. E-S-C-H-O-L. All right? However you want to pronounce that. All right? They were huge. But you know what that tells me? It was harvest time. Harvest time. They didn't have to plant anything. It was already planted for them. All God wanted them to do is come in, take over, and they could eat for an entire year of stuff they didn't even plant. God was so good to them. And you know something? We're going to find 40 years later, God was still good. But they wasted 40 years doing things their own way. 40 years. Tonight we're going to talk about that particular thing. Do you want to do things your way? Or do you want to do things God's way? The Bible is full of illustrations about people, men that chose to do things their own way. I mean, loaded with it. Before I get myself too far ahead of myself, I am reminded of me. As I went through this whole sermon, I thought, you know, John Loggins, that's you. That's so you. Do you remember back when you were 14 years old? And I said, yes. Great conversation I had with myself. Yes. Do you remember what your desires were? I said, yes. What did you want to be? Those of you that are teenagers that have grown up in my youth group know exactly what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a famous what? Soccer player. I love soccer. I love soccer. I ate, drank, and slept soccer. I loved it. I studied it. I played it. For hours, I can remember taking a soccer ball in my mom's flower garden. There was not nice. She had planters, and they were wooden box planters. And I would take the soccer ball and kick it up against the planter, and kick it up against the planter, and back up and kick it up against the flowers. She doesn't know about that. Don't tell her, please. But I would play with myself hours and hours and hours with that soccer ball. And then with my brother, I would play more and more. And soccer consumed me. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I knew Christ as my own personal Savior. He saved me. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a pastor's home. Those of you that know me, I have grown up all my life in a pastor's home. But even in growing up in a pastor's home, you can choose to do things your own way. You can choose to do things that bring yourself pleasure and glory and self-gratification. And by the time I was 8 to the time I was 14, all that consumed me was soccer. Soccer, 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 soccer. But there was a still small voice. Praise the Lord for a still small voice. And that was the Holy Spirit in my life. And he said, John, I really want you to serve me full time. And I pushed him out. And I said, no way. Soccer, 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 soccer. And he'd come back and he'd tap on my shoulder and said, no, no, no. I want you to serve me full time. I gave him all the same excuses that Moses gave to God. God, I can't talk. God, I have no idea what I would say. God, I'm scared of the people that you would send me to. I have heard of the teens. They're big and mightier than I. You know? And they've got teeth and claws. And it's bad news. I'm not going to do that. Soccer. Soccer. Soccer was all that I did. Till I was 14 years old. 14 years old, I remember still. I've told many of you this, walking at camp. We had a camp way up in the Thumb area that we went to every single year. And I remember the speaker that year. He came, he spoke on this same text, Joshua and the nation of Israel coming to the Jordan River and being willing to surrender their life in faith that God knew what was best for them. And I struggled that whole week. Oh, did I struggle that week? It was, I want to do things my own way. I want to play soccer. And I tell you what, and I've told several of you this before, that I tried to make a deal with God. God, if you're willing to allow me to play soccer full time, professionally, I tell you what, I'll give 90% of the money to you. I thought that was a pretty good deal. God keeps 90, I keep 10, still make it fine and dandy. But I wanted to play soccer. God, that's the deal I'm willing to make with you. Just allow me to be professional. Allow me to have my own desires. Allow me to go my own way. And if you leave me alone, 90% will go to the church. Sound like a pretty good Christian, don't I? 90-10, not too bad. God said, no, won't do it. I don't make deals like that. I want all of you. I want all of it. I want all or nothing. And I remember struggling that week. I walked the lawn as if there was this huge weight on my shoulder. And I can remember, no, I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. Soccer, 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 soccer. And that still small voice kept tapping me on the shoulder. No, 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 no. I've got better things for you. I want you to be my servant and serve me with all of your life. The preaching kept coming that week. Kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. Thursday night, you've heard this before. Thursday tonight, when the preaching was done, I tell you what, it was crushing on my own spiritual life that God said, I want you. I don't care if you can't talk. I don't care if you're scared. I don't care if you don't know the future. I wanted to plan my own future out. I don't care if you know the future. I know the future. Give your all to me. And I tell you what, the biggest decision of my entire life was that night. I went forward and I said, all right, God, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. You don't know who you asked to serve you. I'm Jonathan Loggins. I'm a chicken. Because I don't know the future and I want to know the future. I don't like teenagers. And I've hated living in the fishbowl my entire life. But he goes, that's all right. If you're willing to wholeheartedly give yourself to me and allow me to direct your path, choosing God's way rather than my own way, then that's what I want. And I said, all right. God, here I am. All of me. Today, folks, I'm here. Luma Spark Baptist Church. Because I chose a path. I chose a way. Not the way that Jonathan David Loggins wanted to choose. It wasn't. I wanted to go my own way. I wanted soccer. But God said no. God said no. You got to have my way over against your way. And because of that, I'm here today. But I'm reminded as I look back in the Bible of others that chose a different way. As I was going through this and even thinking about my way versus God's way, I'm reminded of Moses. Do you remember Moses? Moses decided to do things his own way. Remember the first time he was supposed to hit the rock and water came out. Remember the second time Moses was supposed to do what to the rock? Speak to the rock. Instead, Moses decided to do things his own way. Instead of God's way. Now you look at it from man's perspective. Did Moses get water? Yeah. Moses got water. But would God say that Moses in that time frame of his life, was Moses a spiritual success or was Moses a spiritual failure? He failed. God told him, Moses, speak to the rock. Instead, Moses decided to do things his own way and he hit the rock. Because of that one decision, that one path that Moses took, he couldn't go into the land of Canaan. Do you remember King Saul? King Saul, God told King Saul, hey, go in and I want you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Utterly destroy them. Instead of, and he said, I want animals, everything should be destroyed. Did Saul destroy everything? No. Matter of fact, Saul said, no, let's keep back the best of that which is there. And so Saul brought them all back, and then of course that's when he was met and he was talked about. Saul, what is it that I hear in my ears? Aren't those the bleating of the sheep? Saul, where did you get those? Didn't God tell you to utterly destroy it? And Saul was like, well, but I wanted to bring them to sacrifice to the Lord. And that's that famous verse that says, it is better to obey than to sacrifice and to hearken in the fat of rams. And Saul decided that he wanted to do things his own way instead of God's way. Did God think that Saul was a spiritual success or failure? He failed. He failed. But you think about it, in man's eyes, he got good animals, didn't he? Man's eyes, that was great. He did fine. He got what he wanted. I'm reminded of Achan. Remember Achan? God told the nation of Israel, when you go into Jericho, you're not to keep anything. Not to keep anything. No money, no possessions, no nothing. Achan do that? No. Achan took money. He took clothes. He hid them. He decided to do things his own way. And if you look back at Achan's life, it cost Achan his own life and the life of his whole family. Achan, spiritual success or failure? Failure. Why? He didn't do things God's way. He decided to do things his own way. But you know something? If you were to look at Achan through man's eyes, he got rewarded for his deeds, didn't he? After all, he went in there to conquer. He got the silver. He got that which he found. In man's eyes, Achan was a success. In man's eyes, Saul was a success. In man's eyes, Moses was a success. Reminded of one more. As I was talking to Brother Becker the other day, he brought up King Uzziah. King Uzziah took over for a king when he was 16 years old. 52 years he did that which was right for the Lord. At the end of those 52 years, Uzziah decided, let's see, that was in 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah decided that he wanted to do something that God told him he shouldn't do. That was designed for the priest to do. Uzziah, King Uzziah said, you know, I want to offer incense before the Lord. Remember, incense, or the specific offering of incense, was designated that only the priests were supposed to do it. But King Uzziah, hey, he had been king. He had done that which is right for 52 years. But at that 52 years, he decided, I think I really want to do something that I want to do. I want to offer incense myself. And sure enough, he went in and did it. And guess what? King Uzziah became leprous. Got leprosy right on his forehead, and it spread to the rest of his body. And King Uzziah, spiritual success or failure? Failure. Why? He decided to do things his own way instead of God's way. But if you think about it, in man's eyes, he did what pleased himself. He was a success in man's eyes. But in God's eyes, he was a failure. Tonight, as I told you, I want to look at these two ways. First of all, let's look tonight at, let's look at God's way. Let's look at God's way. What is God's way? You say, whoa, Pastor John, that was all intro? Yes, that was all introduction, but I only have 2 points, so you're good. All right? Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Stephen, you'll know this verse as soon as you go there. Colossians chapter 2, quickly. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 says this: as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Tiffany, I heard your salvation testimony. Stephen, I heard your salvation testimony. This verse says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in God's way. What is it? First of all, God's way is lonely. God's way is lonely. It's not going to be an easy way. It's lonely. You say, how do you know that? Well, out of the 12 spies that went in, how many of them wanted to do it God's way? Two. There was at least 10 spies against them. And as we know from what I just told you, the rest of the nation of Israel was against them. Matter of fact, if we got a chance and look back at Numbers, we find that the nation of Israel wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb and Moses for doing and wanting to do things God's way. They wanted to do things God's way, and because of it, they wanted to stone them. It will be lonely. Do you remember Paul? Paul mentions in Philippians 2:20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for my own state. He said, the only one that I have that really wants to serve God like I want to serve God is Timothy. That's the only person that I have. You're also very familiar with 2 Timothy 4:10, where it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, Paul said, as I've gone through life, as I've strived to do things God's way, he said, I really don't have anybody. I have Timothy. I used to have Demas. And Demas, he loves this world more than he loves God's way. He wants to do things his own way. And I don't even have Demas with me. All I have is Timothy. He's the only one like-minded. It's a lonely way. Yeah, Tiffany and Stephen, you're going to find that if you want to do things God's way, there won't be a lot of people that way. As you go through life, there's going to be a lot of people that want to do their own way, but they don't want to do it God's way. I'm reminded of the prophets. As you read through your Old Testament and go deep into the Old Testament, you're going to find that the prophets had lots of problems. They were beaten. They were despised. They were shunned. They were put in prison. They had a lot of hardships because they were wanting to do things God's way. There will be opposition. I already told you that about the two spies versus the 10 spies. Do you remember Brother Sammons brought it up this morning in regards to Stephen. Stephen, one of the very first martyrs in the New Testament, Stephen wanted to do things God's way. He was preaching, he was sharing the gospel, and as Stephen wanted to do things God's way, what happened to him? He was killed for doing things God's way. There'll be opposition, and sometimes the opposition will be severe. You say, well, it should be fine as I come to church, right? You know what I found? Even in a local New Testament church, if you want to do things God's way, there'll be opposition even there. You say, well, why is that? Well, shouldn't a church be a safe haven? Shouldn't a church be a place where I can come and relax, kick off my shoes, so to speak, spiritually speaking? And shouldn't I be able to just... No. You realize that the person sitting next to you has the flesh? Do you realize that the person next to you battles with the flesh every single day? Do you realize the person sitting next to you has to battle whether or not today they're going to do things God's way or they're going to do things their own way? In a youth group, and I've never seen a perfect youth group. I've never seen a perfect youth group. Instead, I've seen a youth group that is constantly struggling. Do I want to do things God's way or do I want to do things my own way? And they struggle week to week. You can tell that there's a battle there. There will be opposition, and sometimes the opposition is severe. But you know something? God's way will always follow God's word. Did you catch that? God's way will always follow God's word. It will never contradict. It will never contradict, and it will always follow that path. If you say, well, I believe God wants me to do this, but God's word says this, there won't be such a thing. What you find in God's word is God's way. That's it. Period. You say, well, but I want to do... Then that's your way. Okay? And it contradicts God's way. You have to then make a choice. Do I want to do my own way or do I want to do God's word, which is God's way. Okay? That's you can find many, and I had many verses down for that, but the easiest verse is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... That's God's way. God's way. It will follow God's word. And then last, go with me quickly to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. God will not lead you astray. 2 Samuel 22, verse number 31 says this, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. God's way is perfect. It's the right way, and God's way is perfect. I'm reminded as I went through camp, my dad kept singing a song, and we sang this song at camp. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should go. Though the road be dark and rough, if He leads me, 'tis enough. I want my way to be God's way every day. And my dad would sing that, sing that, sing that, and sing that. There are many times that I'll be going and riding on the lawnmower or doing this or that, and that song will come back to my mind. I want God's way to be my way. Will it be tough? Will it be rough? Will it sometimes be very, very lonely? Absolutely. But God's way is perfect. He will not lead me contrary to His word. And it will be the right way for me. Second, your way. Often, your way will be filled with people just like you. Did you catch that? often, if you choose to go your own way, your way will be filled with people just like you. Why? Because do you remember the proverb? Birds of a feather flock together. Okay? There'll be people that will be full of self, full of self-gratification. They will want to do their own thing, to bring themselves their own pleasure, their own lust. And that's what they'll be filled with. They want their own way. And that's exactly what you want. So often, they will magnetize, they'll bring themselves together just for the sole fact that they all want to bring themselves pleasure. In our text, Numbers 13 and 14, we find that that was exactly the case. The 10 spies and the rest of the nation of Israel all got together and said, look, we don't want God's way. We want to do things our own way. We are not going to go into the land of Canaan. We're going to go back to the land of Egypt. So they thought. Instead, they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Those people that wanted to do things their own way, sure enough, they got their own desires. They said, would to God that we had died in Egypt, or would to God that we died in the wilderness. Guess what God gave them? The desires of their own heart. Desires of their own heart, because the Bible tells us that the only ones that were allowed to go into Canaan, the first ones, the first group that came, the only ones that were allowed to go into Canaan, Joshua, Caleb. All the rest that were 20 years old and above died in the wilderness wandering about. God gave them the desires of their own heart. Do you remember, Pastor Rich has been talking about this a lot on Sunday morning, the prodigal son. He wanted to do things his own way. He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to spend it how he wanted to spend it, and who cares what anybody else thought? I don't care about my dad, I don't care about my brother, I don't care about anything else, all I want is my own way. He got his own way. Went down, had his fun, and guess what? Often when we do things our own way, like I just said, there'll be people that'll congregate to you. That's what happened to the prodigal son. Oh, when he had all that money, he got lots of friends because he had all that money. They partied, they had a great time, according to this world. And guess what? When the money went away, friends went away too. Friends went away. They didn't care about the prodigal son. All they cared about is numero uno, themselves. And that's what your way will be about. I'm reminded of others. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25 speak about a very, very sad verse in the Bible. It says, every man did that which is right in their own eyes. After that, after those verses, we find that a lot of bad things happened to those people. God brought judgment upon them because they did things their own way. You know what I also find in regards to your own way is Satan won't oppose you when you fight on his side. You ever thought about that? Satan won't oppose you when you fight on his side. Say, well, how do you know that? Remember the life of Jonah? Remember the life of Jonah? There was God's way. He was supposed to go and preach to the land of Nineveh. He was supposed to preach righteousness and tell those people that God is going to destroy them if they don't repent. And guess what? Satan allowed Jonah to hop on that boat. No problems. Go right ahead. As long as you're not going to preach to Nineveh, go right ahead. Sail on. Sail on. Sure enough, we find over and over and over in Jonah's life, when Jonah opposed God's way, Satan left him alone. No problems. He's fine. He's not doing what God wants. He's good. All the way through the Bible, you'll find that if somebody wants to do things Satan's way, Satan's rejoicing. Satan's excited. Go right ahead. You're not doing what God wants. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. Satan doesn't have a problem if you fight on his side. The next thing, if you do things your own way, we will find that you will reap more than what you sow. You see, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 is still in the Bible. That's God's law of sowing and reaping. And you know what I find in regards to sowing and reaping, as I even taught this for Brian as we did, character under construction, as we did it in the public school, and we gave them the illustration of corn. I said, when you plant a corn seed, one little kernel of corn, do you only give back one little kernel? Like, no. I said, you're right. You got on average between 2 and 4 ears of corn. And I said, do you realize how many corn kernels are on every single ear of corn? He looked at me like, no. And so we counted them all. I said, do you realize you get an average? And we did it. And I think it was like 300 and, do you remember what it was, Brian? 320, 312 kernels of corn on an ear. And I said, and you get an average of 2 to 4. So say you get 3. Let's do the math. Then take 3 times 300 and whatever it was, 28 or 312. What is that? And they're like 900 and such and such. I said, you get that from one kernel of corn. You sow that, and that's what you reap. So too, the Bible says you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow in your own way, guess what you're going to reap? A whole bunch of self. A whole bunch of lust. A whole bunch of desires. But if you reap to the Spirit, if you reap and do things God's way, sure, there's going to be a whole bunch of blessings. A whole bunch of spiritual reward for doing that which God wants. So I came to myself as I was doing this whole message, and I came to a particular verse. As I got to this part, I said, is it possible for a believer, if you get nothing else out of the message, catch this, is it possible for a believer, somebody that knows Christ as their own personal Savior, to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? Is it possible for those of you that are sitting in these pews tonight, for you as a believer, if you know Christ as your own personal Savior, is it possible for you to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? You know what my conclusion was? Well, tell you what. Go with me real quick to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we start off in verse number 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Shows what path Paul was taking. He wanted God's way. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, spiritually mature, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. This is where we get to the conclusion, the answer of the question I just gave you. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I believe, as Paul said, that he wept, as he lamented in tears over these people, I believe that Paul was not talking about an unbeliever. I believe that Paul was talking about believers that decided instead of doing things God's way, that they thought, no, that way's too hard. That way's too rough. We've seen how Paul went through trials of affliction over and over and over again. And I don't want that. I tell you what, I think I really want to do things my own way. I want to try a different course. I want to do things that bring more pleasure to me. And Paul says in that verse, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I believe it's possible for a believer to go his own way. And as he goes his own way, he gets farther and farther and farther into it, that he becomes truly an enemy of the cross of Christ. You say, how is that? How could they do that? Well, when a person sees somebody going their own way, and deeper and deeper and deeper into their own way, what do they see? Do they see Jesus Christ? Do they bring honor and glory to the King of Kings? Do they shine forth the fact that, hey, I am a believer and I know Christ and my desire is to walk with the Lord. My desire is to get into God's Word. My desire is to do the right thing. Is that what they see in their own way? No. No. They see self, 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 self. They see a person that wants and desires to bring pleasure to themselves greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. So as they see that, they literally are bearing a reproach to the name and cause of Christ. Can you back that up? I believe I can. I believe if you go back to the Old Testament, the life of David, he's a perfect example. That when David sinned like what he did with Bathsheba, the Bible says that David gave great occasion for blasphemy against the Lord. I can back it up. And I believe it's possible that there may be teens and young people here tonight that are so on their way, so living their life their own way, that they are truly an enemy of the cross of Christ. Instead of fighting the good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, they're fighting on the wrong side. They're fighting for the wrong team. Guess what? Satan won't oppose you when you do that. Satan will cheer you on. Keep on. Yeah, that's fantastic. He'll give you a lot of the desires of your own heart. I don't have enough time, but that was part of the last of it. Your way will bring destruction. We find that in Romans 8:13 and Philippians 3:19. It says that right there, whose end is destruction. I looked up that word destruction. It can mean physical, spiritual, or eternal destruction. You keep going your own way. You keep going your own way as a believer. And there comes a time where God can say, that's it. You're done. I won't have you bringing a reproach on God's name anymore. You're done. You're ended. I've known several teens that way. I could give you names of teens that so went their own way. They were a believer. They knew Christ as their own personal Savior. I had heard their testimony. But they so went their way that God said, I've had enough. I've given them chance after chance after chance to repent and turn back to Christ. They won't do it. And they are so causing me shame, so causing the name of Christ to be blackened and to be darkened, that I won't have it any longer. That's it. Come home. Is that where you're at? Is that the path that you've chosen? That's your own way, and it's not God's way. Real quickly, let me give you, how do I walk God's way? One, we have to die to self. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15:31. It says, Paul says, I die daily. And in Galatians 5:24, Paul says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts thereof. Colossians 3:5, Pastor Rich and I were talking about it, says, mortify therefore your members. It requires dying to self. You say, well, Pastor John, when I got saved, didn't everything die? Now, the Bible says that there is a war still between our own desires and God's desires. And we have to kill and mortify, that's that word mortify, we have to kill our own desires every single day. And we have to say, God, I don't want my own way. I want your way. I realize that my own flesh, my own desires, my own mind wants to please itself, wants to do things their own way. But God, please help me today. I don't want to do that. It'll bring sin, it'll bring reproach, it'll bring scars, it'll bring misery, it'll bring all these things. And I don't want to cause you any pain. Today, I want to do things your way. That's the dying to self. And what I find, second of all, we have to walk in the Spirit. That's what Galatians 5, 16 through 25 says, to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it brings us to the question, the ultimate question tonight. So which way? He said, now I can see, Pastor John, that tonight's message wasn't just for Tiffany and Stephen. It's for every single person that's here. What way are you choosing to go? I was reminded as I was doing this whole message of that song written by Frank Garlock, Do Right. From the very start, have purpose in your heart. To do what's right and never question why. Never count the cost, though everything seems lost. The price for doing right is sometimes high. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right though it's never known. Do right since you love the Lord. Do right, do right. Right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And you must learn to separate the two. If you love the right, the Lord will give you light. So seek the right in everything you do. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right, though it's never known. Do right, since you love the Lord. Do right, do right. Father, you know my heart.